Hello, I'm Steve Braunham with the Missing People Podcast. In this program, my co-host Kelly Jolkowski, founder and president of Project Jason, talk with Robert Lancaster, creator and webmaster of the website StopSylviaBrown.com. This website's dedicated to providing the full story about Sylvia Brown and her claims to psychic skills. Despite Sylvia's huge impact on television, radio, and in her books, over 40 of them now, Robert has yet to be able to locate a situation where Sylvia Brown has proven that she has even a hint of psychic or paranormal gifts. Robert's focus and interest is presenting the truth, and we were very happy when he took time out of his busy schedule to talk with Kelly. Let's listen.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Robert. We have Robert Lancaster with us out of California, and welcome to the show, Robert.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, our main audience is probably not going to be really familiar with the term skeptic and what a skeptic is. Can you enlighten us on that?
Well, a skeptic is somebody who, when confronted with a claim, especially an unusual claim, such as someone saying that they're psychic, starts off with a provisional opinion of doubt. And waits until he or she sees evidence to support that claim before accepting it as truth.
And so how does a skeptic go about supporting the claim or finding out the truth about something in particular?
Well, that would depend on the claim. With something like someone claiming to be psychic, they would have to produce some pretty convincing evidence. But the more unusual the claim, the more convincing the evidence really has to be. For instance, you might be aware of James Randi's $1 million challenge, James Randi being the famous skeptic who has had a $1 million challenge out there for a number of years. For anyone who can prove any paranormal ability, such as being psychic or dowsing or any one of a number of things. And he establishes a test in conjunction with the person who makes the claim, until they both agree that the test is fair, and then the test is performed. And so far, nobody's won $1 million, but that is one way a skeptic could go about establishing the validity of a particular claim, is through a scientific test.
So have you been a skeptic your entire life, or is that just something that somewhere along the line you started to question things that were told to you?
Well, I've been a skeptic to one degree or another for all my adult life, but it's only in the past few years that I've really gotten involved in the online skeptical community and started being a little bit more proactive with my skepticism.
Now, you started out with a website about a woman who claimed to have something to do with surviving the September 11th disaster at the Twin Towers in New York City. How did you get started with that, and can you just briefly tell us a little bit about that woman and that site and how you came to do that website?
Sure. Well, it's kind of hard to do briefly, but her name is Kaz DeMille Jacobson, and how I stumbled across this woman is she spoke at my mother's church, and my mother was very taken with this woman's story. It was a story of growing up in a wealthy family and being the illegitimate child of, pardon me, and being the illegitimate child of Hollywood stars and having lots of money and producing Oscar-winning movies and all leading up to the point where she was claimed to have been in the North Tower of the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001, when the terrorists struck. And she had a story of surviving that and heroically saving other people that were in an elevator with her when the plane struck, and then being in a hospital and in a coma for a long time and then being brain dead and going to heaven. You see why I said this is hard to give you a short version of. Her story just goes on and on with all sorts of just ridiculous claims. And she was speaking at churches around the country taking donations for her story. And when I heard the story from my mother, I found it very hard to believe, and I found it very offensive that if I was correct, that someone was making money by lying about having been there on 9/11. And I thought that was incredibly offensive to all the people who were actually there that day, the ones who lived and the ones who died.
Very much so.
So I started researching the woman's story, first online and then communicating with some of the people that she claimed to be related to, and found out that she was almost almost positively a fraud. And I put together a website documenting what I had found, because others had told me that when she had spoken at their church, they were a little skeptical, but they looked online and didn't find anything which disproved her story, and so they just decided to accept it. I decided to remedy that by putting up a site with what I found, and I added to it as more and more things came out about the woman.
And what's that website address, Robert?
That is StopKaz, that's K-A-Z, StopKaz.com.
Now, from having her website up, do you feel that you were successful in getting people who might be taken in by her to know what was truly going on behind the scenes?
Well, I definitely heard from a number of people who she had spoken at their church, and they had believed her story, and then looked her story up online and found the website and were horrified by what they found. I was also instrumental in getting her appearances at a number of churches canceled. And in the end, I don't know if she's totally stopped, but she's been laying very low for more than a year now. And I believe that my site was instrumental in bringing that about.
Now, because you had the success with that site, you then at some point in time decided to do another site about someone else who has claims that don't appear to be true. So can you tell us about how you decided to choose who you were going to do the next website on? Because as we know, there's a huge number of people to choose from who lead the public into believing these things.
Sure. Well, what happened was, as the StopKaz site was winding down and she had pretty much gone to ground and wasn't being heard from anymore, several people that were familiar with my work encouraged me to find someone else to focus a new site on. And there were a number of people that I had my eye on and thought they would make good focuses of such a site, and such a site about them would be helpful. But it was actually reading your blog on Voice for the Missing that made me make up my mind as to which of those people to pick, and that person was Sylvia Brown, the purported psychic. And reading some of the things on your blog about what psychics do with the families of missing people just absolutely infuriated me every bit as much as what Kaz had done by claiming to be part of 9/11. And of all of those psychics, the ones mentioned and all the others, Sylvia Brown is arguably the most famous here in the United States. She appears weekly on the Montel Williams show. She has almost, I believe, 40 books out now, any of them bestsellers. And I figured if I could investigate her and prove that some of what she claimed was false, that would have an effect beyond just her.
Well, I'm so glad that my site was able to help in many, many ways, and one of them, of course, being that you decided to tackle Sylvia Brown, and especially being that she is very, very well known and has a lot of money behind her. I really like the way that you do your site, and as far as the approach, it's very professionally done. There's no name calling or anything of that nature. It's just really laying out the facts, and you, in essence, tell the reader to decide.
That's precisely how I handle the site. And thank you for that. I feel that some of the skeptical sites that you see out there do end up name calling various psychics and other people. And although I can definitely identify with the sentiment, it really does nothing to help prove your point or help bring people over to your side. You're talking to you're preaching to the choir at that point. Other skeptics might read that and agree with you. But someone who is on the fence or even someone who believes in the psychic in this case will read that and be insulted by it and not want to actually investigate what you're saying. So I try and take a very straightforward, matter-of-fact tone and present the facts as I see them. I definitely have an opinion. The name of the site, StopSylviaBrown.com, tells you what my opinion is. I'm not being coy about that in any way, shape, or form, but I try and just lay out the facts, and when I lay out something that is my opinion, I try to clearly label it as such. And I believe that the site is having a fair amount of success, largely due to the approach.
Yes, you're doing an absolutely fantastic job, and I do encourage listeners to go to the site and correct me if I'm wrong, but they can sign up for updates so that every time you post a new article, they would get an email notification. Is that correct?
That is correct. They can sign up on my site's contact page.
Now, can you tell us some of the stories on there that are in regards to missing people, maybe a brief on those? And I think the first one that you had was a very heartbreaking story about a little girl named Opal Jo Jennings from Texas.
Yes, and it was her story on your blog that put me over the top in terms of picking Sylvia Brown as a focus for the site. There is an entry in your blog about the experience that this poor grandmother had on the Montel Williams show with Sylvia Brown, and it's a horrific story. Briefly, this woman's 5-year-old granddaughter, who was living with her, became missing in Texas where they lived. And after a few months, the grandmother appeared on the Montel Williams show to ask Sylvia Brown's help in finding Opal Jo Jennings, is the name of the little girl. Sylvia Brown told this grandmother that Opal was still alive, but that she had been sold into white slavery in Japan. The look on that grandmother's face just would rip your heart out. For Sylvia Brown to tell her that without actually knowing that, and Sylvia Brown does not know that, it is just horrifically cruel, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners could recognize. As it turned out, several years later, little Opal's body was found not far from where she had been abducted there in Texas, and the coroner's judged that she had died not long after having been kidnapped. So she was deceased at the time that the grandmother was on the Montel Williams show. So everything that Sylvia Brown said was utter nonsense and totally untrue. And that family, Opal's family, for the next several years until her remains were found, had to live with the image of their little girl in slavery, in basically in prostitution, which is what white slavery is, in a foreign country that they could not get to. To do that to a human being, what Sylvia did is just incomprehensible to me. And it is evil. I don't think there's another word for it.
I would totally agree with you. To think of your child being violated day after day and probably hour after hour and feel so powerless and helpless to do anything about it, and that not being true, how could you put that image or those thoughts in somebody's head as if it were true? It's just astonishing that someone would be so cruel to do such a thing.
I have no idea how the woman sleeps at night.
I don't either. Now, I did put you in touch with another family, the mother of Ryan Ketcher, a good friend of mine, and you also did a story on what happened with Sylvia and her mother on the Montel show. Can you give us a brief rundown of that and what happened?
Well, Ryan had disappeared in November of 2000, I believe it was. And he had been to a party and had come back to his mother's house and been dropped off with his truck and late at night. And the next morning, he was not there, and nor was his truck. And, of course, there was searches all around, and Local lakes and ponds were checked, and they couldn't find him. So the mother appeared on the Monk's Williams show in December 2003 and to ask Sylvia Brown's help. And Sylvia told her that Ryan was dead and that some friends that were at the party with him panicked when he died, and they stuffed his body down some sort of a metal shaft. And the mother asked what happened to his truck, and Sylvia said the truck had been dismantled and sold for parts. The mother told me that she specifically asked Sylvia, was he in water? And Sylvia said, no, he was in this metal shaft somewhere. And Sylvia said what state this metal shaft was in. And years later, just in the middle of 2006, Ryan's body was found in his truck, which was intact, at the bottom of one of the ponds that they had searched earlier, but it was very deep, and they didn't find it when they had originally searched. He had not been stuffed down a metal shaft. He was in his truck. His truck had not been dismantled and sold. It was intact, and he was in water, and his body was not in the state that Sylvia Brown told his mother it was in. And so yet another case where she gives someone information that is totally wrong and totally misleading. And I spoke with the mother, and it was a very rough experience for her.
Don't psychics generally, when a missing person case has been going on for a period of time, don't they generally say the person is dead simply because the odds will be with them to make that statement, and therefore they will be correct?
Well, yes and no. As you know, once a person is missing for a certain length of time, the odds are, as you say, that they are not going to be found and that they are probably dead. But since they're probably not going to be found, a psychic can say anything they want. They can say they're alive, they're dead, they're in another country, they're in your backyard. They can say anything with very little risk of being proven wrong. And so sometimes they'll say they're alive, sometimes they'll say they're dead.
That makes sense. And yes, they do certainly say a variety of things that are hurtful and definitely not helpful.
Yes.
Now, there was a huge, huge story. In fact, that story was international for quite some time. And that was the story of Sean Hornbeck. Now, there was involvement with Sylvia Brown and her having made a particular claim about Sean Hornbeck, which, as I'm sure probably 99% of the people listening know what happened here, but let's recap that just in case, because that was certainly very telling as to her supposed powers or abilities.
Sure. Well, Sean disappeared, as most people know, when he was 10 years old, back in October of 2002. And he was not found. And years later, well, actually, it was only in February of 2003, his parents appeared on the Montel Williams show to ask Sylvia's help once again to find their son. And she told them that Sean was dead, and that Sean's body would be found buried between two jagged boulders, and she described the area and said how many miles it was southeast of where the Acres lived, and she described the abductor as being Hispanic with dreadlocks and very tall and thin like a basketball player. And, well, as most people know, just in January 2007, Sean showed up alive. The police found him when they also found another young boy that the abductor had kidnapped. The abductor was white, not Hispanic. He had short, thin hair, not dreadlocks. He was didn't appear to be very tall, but he was rather portly and not built like a basketball player in the least. So yet another case where she was wrong about just about everything. And it came back to bite her, because this was such a huge, as you say, international story. And I was fortunate enough that the very day that Sean was found, people were emailing me at the site to let me know that he had been found and that Sylvia was involved. And I was able to dig into the story on the web and find some newspaper accounts of what she had told the Acres when they were on the show, and put up an article, a brief article about it, on the very day that he turned up alive. And I thought that would pretty much just be the end of that. But the New York Daily News found the story and ran coverage of the Montel Williams and Sylvia Brown involvement in the story after having interviewed me. And then it was picked up by the Howard Stern Show and by radio shows and TV shows and newspapers all over the country and possibly world, I don't know. But it became a huge story and put a lot of focus on Sylvia Brown that she did not appreciate.
No, I'm sure not.
This concludes the first section of Kelly's interview with Robert Lancaster. You are listening to the Missing People Podcast, copyright 2007, all rights reserved and held jointly by the Missing People Podcast and Project Jason. Original music created and performed by Ariana Kima. For more information on Project Jason, please go to projectjason.org. And don't forget to check out Robert's website at stopsylviabrown.com. That's stopsylviabrowne. For my co-host Kelly Jokowski, I'm Steve Bronham with the Missing People Podcast. Thanks for listening.